Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. My name is Erica Spiegelman and I am your host today. My co-host Marcia Stone will unfortunately not be with us, but we have on an amazing guest. And always on Rewiring Your Life, we like to, you know, discuss really important topics that for our listeners provide wellness tips, inspiration, and support. And today we have on Limor Gallo, who is a lifestyle host and marketing professional. She is an incredible woman and has tons of experience in consumer packaged goods and entertainment industry. She's also personally survived breast cancer and a number of other life-altering experiences. And she's here today to share that with us. And she's created recently a podcast with her husband called This Rom-Com Life. This podcast is awesome. I've been on it. And they explore the ups and downs of life, relationships, what's trending in the news, and just other topics that we can all relate to. So Limor, welcome to the show. So excited to have you with us.
Thanks, Erica. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. So, I mean, when I heard about the podcast, I love this idea of having your co-host be your husband and then also just discussing, you know, life on, like, with some lightness and with some comedy and with some, like, you know, real discussions on romance and marriage and all these things. So can you tell us a little bit just quickly how that podcast got started and how's it been working with your husband?
Sure. So let's put it this way. You know, my husband and I met in our 20s. We got married a few years later, and we didn't know what life was going to bring, as most people don't, of course. You just don't know what life is going to bring. And we were in love, and we had the future ahead of us, and then we had kids, and we still were sort of in our own, you know, worlds of just work and entertainment industry things. And then life got real. The first thing that happened is my daughter, who's now 11, when she was just over a year old, came down with a very, very scary, severe 1 in 10 million autoimmune syndrome, which no one had ever heard of. I mean, very, very few even. No one knew how to diagnose it. We didn't know what was going on. We were rushed to Children's Hospital. It's called opsoclonus myoclonus ataxia. Try saying that, let alone being told your child has that. And along with that came so many hardships for her specifically, for us as a family, me personally, you know, just that was, and we spent years, you know, dealing with that. She still has some repercussions from that, but it was very, very scary. And even through that first initial sort of hardship that we were dealing with, I remember the first question people would ask, you know, when our child was in the hospital and things were going on is, how are you and Dan? Dan is my husband. And I would look at them and say, what do you mean? And I come to learn that, you know, when you suffer some kind of trauma with your children or things, oftentimes it can tear people apart, can tear marriages apart. You can fight different things. But thankfully, in our marriage, because it actually brought us closer together, right? And we worked together as a team, and it was very, very hard. And, you know, we still deal with things, but we were able to come together and be a united force. So while we were living through that, you know, life still happens. And my father, this is a few years later, suffered a very rare form of cancer, and he passed away. And then a year or two later, my father-in-law passed away. And here we are, you know, still, you know, in our late 30s, maybe early 40s. And now we're suffering all these different things and the ups and downs of life. And yet we're still a united force. And then I get breast cancer. And again, it's like, really, something else happens. But again, the amazing thing with that is that my husband was my number one fan, always has been. He's my number one supporter, along with my incredible friends and family. And rather than feel, oh my gosh, no man is ever going to understand this or whatever, he was amazing throughout the whole thing. And so, you know, that's another up and down in life. And then, you know, COVID happens and he loses his job. You know, we've just been, what happened is we grew up the hard way. Life happened, things happened, and what can normally tear people apart, and don't get me wrong, there was depression in there, there was fighting in there, there were so many struggles in there, but we were able to stay united as a team. And then what I would start hearing from my friends later on now, because now we're in our 40s and unfortunately people are getting divorced more and more often. And I even have good friends getting divorced. They would say, gosh, how do you and Dan do it? How do you and Dan do it? And I'll say, well, it's not easy. And we've had our shit and we've had our ups and downs, but you know, it's all about communication, or it's, this is how he looks at it from a man's perspective. And suddenly my girlfriends were coming to my husband to ask his advice in now because they're dating again or different things. And I looked at him and I said, you know, I've always wanted a podcast. I didn't really know what that meant. But suddenly I realized this is a podcast. We could help people because by sharing our own story, struggles, different things from a man's perspective and a woman's perspective, and that's how it was born. That's how this rom-com life was born, because we figured our life is kind of like a movie in that you two people fall in love and then there's obstacles, but somehow through it all, we're able to be stronger than ever, although that wasn't always the way. And by sharing what happens to us and what we've been through, we can help others, hopefully. And that's in essence what our podcast is.
I love it. I love that that's the premise, because I feel like life happens to you and for you, you know, like it's all the way we look at things, right? The perspective, and those are all very life altering experiences that, you know, we don't wish to happen to ourselves, that you've been through, but also you have embraced it as a reality. And now what? Now how do we get through this together versus, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a good message for people, is like to be, you know, instead of like, you know, you and him, different ideas against the problem, it's you and him together against the problem, right?
Right. And I think in sharing the different things, like I'm very open about the fact that I now a few years ago started going on anti-anxiety, antidepressant medication. And that really helped me because I used to be a lot more volatile and that was not good for our marriage. And we definitely struggled and would fight more. But now being open and honest that like I needed that sort of help right now in my life, that to balance me out, made me feel like a better person. Or maybe there was a point in time when, you know, there were other things that we would fight about, but we're just open and honest about all things, and we can laugh at things and we can talk about different things. But I think that sharing that with people, so people go, oh, I'm not the only one out there, or oh, this is what was happening, but this is how we discovered this was what helped us. Maybe this will help you. Do you have to, maybe, oh, did you go to therapy together and that actually helped you because talking about it helped? Oh, maybe I should do that. So it's just being able to be vulnerable and give ideas. Of course, we are not experts, but this is what we have found to help us, right? And then we bring on, like you, we bring on experts and different people out there in the field who can help in other ways and have discussions. And sometimes we just talk about, like you said, what's happening on TV or in sports and lighten the world too. But it's just about that open conversation, communication to help hopefully one person or many people or things like that.
Yeah, and I really love how you guys are very vulnerable, is the greatest word. As you just said that, it was in my head of like, it came off to me like your relationship, there's a lot of vulnerability there. You guys know each other very well. It seems like there's nothing really off the table that you don't talk about, which, you know, I think is really hard for some couples. I think, you know, sometimes one like somebody in the relationship, even, you know, whether you're married or dating, whatever, won't fully reveal themselves for fear of being judged, for fear of rejection, for fear of abandonment, you know, like, and I mean, that's rightfully so, you know, maybe we've been hurt in the past and we don't want to talk about the fact that we have some secret behavior of some kind, you know, like this, you know, but I think with you guys, from what I have seen, you, it feels very open and honest. And I think that's so refreshing because, you know, it gives other people, it inspires other people to be that way too in their relationships. You know, I think for me, especially, I'm, you know, you've been married much longer than me, but for me, even 5 years into my marriage, I finally feel like I could totally be myself. And not to say I wasn't at first, but it took a while, you know, just because you have to build trust in relationships and all of that can't just be bought. It takes time, right?
Absolutely. That is so true. You know, we're all afraid of being vulnerable and revealing something that even deep down we might be ashamed of, but it's all about communication. And if you can't be most vulnerable in your closest relationship, then who can you be most vulnerable with, right? It's not always going to be pretty. There's going to be ugly in there. There's going to be thoughts in there that you're like, I can't believe I even popped into my head. And but you can work through that, right? Or there could be actions. Like, it's not always pretty, the fact that my husband might hear me pass gas, or often, but he does, right? Like, sorry, we live together. We've been together for over 20 years. That's something that happened.
Right.
Let's talk about that. Or it could be like, you know, something that you feel guilty about, like, oh, I used to be more closed-minded and think, you know, and maybe I should have been. I used to pass judgment and I feel yucky at that, but thankfully I've evolved as a person. But admitting that is okay. You know, it's okay to admit these things, or even say, you taught me, like my husband has taught me how to become more open-minded or see things differently, or a life experience has. But admitting that, it feels good, and you should be able to be that open and honest in your relationship, hopefully. And like you said, you learn that over time, but communication and openness and vulnerability is key.
Yeah, it's key. It's totally key. Yeah, exactly. And since breast cancer, and since you've been through a lot yourself, just, you know, as an individual, do you feel like you have created kind of a new kind of balance in your life? Like, what, just in your personal life, you know, in our community, we talk a lot about balance and recovery of all kinds, you know, not only just addiction recovery, but recovering from cancer, recovering from, you know, any trauma that's happened in your life, or just different chapters and phases. How do you find balance now in life? And did cancer teach you anything? Just curious for people that are wondering.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right about that. I think that the cancer treatment, or my own diagnosis, sorry, the cancer diagnosis and life after cancer, and even, you know, dealing with our own daughter and different things, and even our son, it just taught you how to appreciate the little things in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can, sometimes we're so focused on, we want this and we want that. And, you know, I obviously always wanted, you know, the fancy cars or the bigger career or the different things. And sometimes take a step back and go, wow, just be thankful for what you do have. Maybe you don't have everything. Yeah. But be thankful for your health. Be thankful for your child and their child's health. Be thankful for this small moment and relive back in the moment. You know, we also so often forget to live in the moment. I do this all the time. And sometimes my daughter will be like, can mom get off your phone? Even if I'm just replying to a work email. And she's right. Oh my gosh. Let's take a walk. Let's just watch them, or let's have a conversation, sit in the moment and just say, A, B, and C, I'm thankful for this. And we'll get to the rest later. And it's baby steps, and just feel thankful for what you have, your health, your family, and those really, really, really important things.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And being present, like, it's even, you know, my 3-year-old will say, I'm talking to you. Now he says, I'm talking to you. Get off your phone. If I'm on the phone, like this morning, I was replying to a work email, and, you know, it's just like, I don't have to do that right when he's in front of me, you know, like,
right.
I mean, we all granted have to sometimes multitask, but it's just funny how much, you know, how much more present I guess we could become. I mean, no one's perfect, but it is something that I think we all could use for some balance too. And I was going to ask you as well, in like friendships and relationships, like other relationships that you have, do you feel like that has evolved since you've gone through different chapters of your life, like kind of your connection with people, your time management? Do you, you know, have like a tighter group of friends, or do you, like, in terms of spending your time, because we talk about time management a lot, and also in our kind of recovery world, and how just having quality relationships and people that add value to your life, like, had that changed, you know, as these chapters have gone on?
So much. So I think before I wanted to control everything, right? And then what I learned, especially when my daughter got sick, is you can't control anything, you know, outside of your power, whether it's health or illness. And all of a sudden, I needed people's help, whether it was with my son, whether it was, you know, to bring food, you know, all of a sudden, and with cancer again, suddenly, even though you think you don't want the help, and, you know, people are putting together whatever, a meal train or whatever it is, and you're like, no, I don't want it. Sometimes you need to just accept help. And it really, it's hard. you just accept it. And you know what? You will return it in some way in the future. But accept the friendship, accept the love from family and friends when you need it. And then when it's their turn, when it's your turn to give it back, you will. And so just true friendship and true love and true family is being able to accept help when you need it and be thankful for it. And then the time probably will come and you'll be so thankful to be able to give it back in the future. And that's really what I've learned, is I really had to learn how to accept that I wasn't always in control, but it was okay to accept help and be thankful for it. And now I'm so much even happier to be able to give it back to people in different ways.
Oh, of course. Well, you realize how much it, you know, not only helped you, but like, you know, it goes to like your core when you're in a time of need and someone comes in and helps. It really does. I remember when my dad got sick a couple years ago, very, very sick. He, you know, it was like the people that stepped in that every day checked in, asked if I needed anything. Like it shocked me, because I guess you don't really know that until you're in a situation where you do need help, or it's nice for people to check on you, you know? So that's, it is.
Yeah.
You could definitely give it back once you see how helpful it is for you, for sure.
Right. But it definitely means a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just asking all this because I feel like, you know, we have to have these contrasts to happen in life to see what's important. You know, sometimes, you know, always the darkness makes the light so much brighter, you know, for us. And so I think that even when some people are listening right now, going through a hard chapter or a hard, you know, time emotionally in some way or another, it all does pass. But it's there to also teach you so much. Like there's so many lessons in the hard times. I know when you're in it, it's painful and you don't want it. But again, if we could kind of reframe the way we see things, a different perspective, then, you know, I think there's some beauty in every, you know, experience that we go through, negative or positive.
I think what you just said was so beautiful and so profound, because I am who I am today only because of all those really, really difficult challenges I've been through, and made me so much of a deeper, more, my feelings, I can only feel that much more and be so much happier with who I am today and evolved as a person in my mind and my spirit. And not that I wish hardship on anyone, but you, like you said, the contrast is amazing, and it's all a growing and learning experience. And at the end of the day, what I've learned about myself, I'm a stronger person. I'm a more evolved person. I appreciate things so much differently. My eyes are so open. And yes, it was so painful, and there have been so many painful times. But now the beautiful things are that much more beautiful. And exactly like you said, I'm such a different person now than I was before the cancer. I'm so much a different person than I was before my daughter got sick, or different things. And I'm thankful for that in a weird way, right? Like,
of course,
I don't wish it. I don't wish that I had to go through it, but I am so thankful for the person I am now, because it is a much different person than before.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And it doesn't have to be, you know, for everyone listening, like it doesn't have to be huge, you know,
right,
these life-altering things that happen. But I mean, just even in itself, like just becoming a mother was a shift, or just becoming, you know, if somebody gets a new job, you know, look at the challenges.
Exactly.
And I mean, even the little things, if we could just see the lessons in it, it's very helpful for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And so with you and Dan, tell me a little bit, like in terms of romance, since it's called The Rom-Com Life, and I want everybody to go listen to it because it's such a great show. And I love your banter. How do you keep romance alive? Like, is there any tips that you can give people that are just starting out, like in their relationships? I mean, is it, you know, does it feel the same? Yeah.
No, I mean, obviously that first year or two of any relationship when it's new and exciting, or even the first few years when you're in it, it's not always going to be that way, right? Because life happens and things happen and work and all that, finances and different things. I would say, there are going to be ups and downs, but like I said already, communication is key, but make time. Sometimes Dan and I, we just have to pull away from our kids. Now they're old enough, thankfully, but even before when they weren't, we would hire a babysitter. And even if it was for 2 or 3 hours, we would take a walk, just take a walk somewhere pretty, or go on a hike. If you don't have, we didn't always have money for quote unquote, like fancy dates, right? But even we would go take a hike and maybe go pick up a sandwich and have a picnic, or, you know, go do something, go to a museum and have a cup of coffee. Just take that time for the two of you. It's so important, no matter where you are in your relationship. Maybe it's after the kids go to bed at night and you guys put on a movie that you guys can watch together and laugh about or talk about, but still find those things that you can connect on that remind you of how you were before you got married or before you were in that, you know, lull of a relationship, because there was something that drew the two of you together. And sometimes you have to remind yourself when life gets down or when things happen or when it's just, you know, it's been boring. Just remind yourself what brought you two together and what you love about each other. That's really what it is. And just whether it's once a week, if more often or every other week, but just find that again. And I think that's the key. And it's easy to do. It doesn't have to be by a big getaway. If you can take a weekend away, great. But if you can't, it can be as simple as going on a great walk and laughing about something together, talking about old times, because there is something there that brought you two together, and just find it and remind it and take a little bit of time, just the two of you together. I would say that is what we've always done and my biggest advice that I could offer.
Yeah. And also I feel like, I mean, I don't know, I'm going to ask you too, like, to stay curious about each other. I feel like sometimes within relationships, you feel like you got, like, you know, you're in the monotony of day to day and you're like, and then the conversation just becomes very, just be like transactional, like, hi, how was your day? How was your day? Great. Versus, like, you know, I think for me, at least, trying to be like, okay, well, I'm growing still, he's growing still. How do we stay curious? How do we look at each other like, like, I am very interested in what's going on in his head, my husband, for instance, you know, or you mean even with friendships or anybody, but it's, I think, important to kind of stay curious and like ask questions, don't you think? Because I feel like there's days where we don't do that and I'm like, and I feel a little like disconnected, or, you know, so I don't know. I feel like it's, you feel more like, well, I guess the question is like, does that help with connection? Like, have you found that that helps with connection?
Absolutely. I think that's exactly right. It's more than just shallow or not shallow surface, because we're all tired. How was your day? But exactly what?
Yeah. And
what
we are tired.
Right.
Yeah.
So it is like, what is, you know, what is making you happy these days? What is not making you happy? What do you want to do?
Just, how's your job? Right. What do you think? Yeah.
Yeah. But really, really exactly finding out what you're thinking on a deeper core feeling, or, you know, throwing out ideas and having sort of things to talk about and connect on and inspire each other. Right. Because sometimes I need inspiration but I'm also curious about his, like you said, staying curious and interested in each other is the key, because life gets hard and it's not always going to lend itself to just happening on your own. Whereas when you're new in a relationship, you're still discovering, right? So yes, I think you're right. Staying in that discovery mode always, even many, many years into a relationship, treat it as it's still new and exciting, and you want to feel that way. So I agree. I think that's really, really important, in that discovery mode of each other constantly.
Yeah. I mean, because we're talking like, you know, day to day discovery and being curious. But like, you've been through so many different chapters of your life and your marriage. And so I mean, you were also so young when you got married. I'm sure you're such like a different person now. So, I mean, it would be, you know, like crazy to think that you haven't changed or that you haven't developed, you know,
exactly.
New parts of yourself. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Both of you. Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think both people in life, right, we're hopefully always kind of evolving or growing or striving to. And as you change, right, maybe your career changes or you're getting older or you see things differently, right? My 45-year-old self that I am right now sees things very differently, even as my 40-year-old self did in my 30s. You know, so you're right. As we continue to grow, remind each other of who you are now and how you might have grown, and see that in each other, because exactly, the 20-year-old selves in you are different than the 40-year-old sons in you, or even a few years, even a year later, maybe things you're different. So that is very important to constantly kind of be checking in and curious about, not only looking at yourself, but the other person and how you're growing together or apart, and trying to fix that if it seems like, oh no, I'm evolving. Is this person not? Or I want them to see my evolution and be a part of it as well.
Right. So that's a huge part of it
really
too.
Important. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's so many, so many variables, but I think you guys lucked out because you guys just are a good fit. And you've done a lot of work on your relationship, it sounds like, and you've been very mindful of that. So that's also a huge part of it, is putting in the effort as well. But, it comes down to, it's like sometimes you just don't know. You go into these relationships hoping for the best, and then sometimes, you know each other well, you get a good intuitive feeling, and then sometimes things, happen. But I think it's always great to, like you just said, communicate and be as honest as possible. I think that's so key.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell everybody.
I think that's what it really is about.
Yeah. Tell everybody where they could find the Rom-Com Life. And thank you so much for being with me today. I love talking to you. You're like, you have so many wonderful things to share. You're so inspiring, and I admire you so much. So I want everybody to find you guys. Let everyone know where to find you.
Thank you, Erica. It is always so fun and wonderful speaking with you as well. Check out our podcast, This Rom-Com Life. It's on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify. We also have a website, thisromcomlife.com. So please subscribe. We'd love to hear from people. And I really am thankful and appreciative of you having me on today as well.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Everybody go check it out. And we'll have Limora's information up on our podcast page as well. So you guys could find it all, and under her show page too. So Limora, we asked our guests a really one deep dive question before we end our conversation. And that is, just kind of a quick answer, whatever comes to you. What is your superpower, Limora?
Love.
Love. I love that.
Yeah. Just love. Love yourself. Love your family. And gratitude. That's a big one. Gratitude, I would say.
Yeah.
Gratitude is my biggest one. Just thankful. Be thankful and gratitude. And ever evolving also. Be open to change and learning from that. Learning is also important, and I hope that all makes sense. Those were just kind of
the things that came up.
That came out when you asked that question. But
I love
gratitude
that.
And being able to learn and being able to evolve and keep on doing that always, and just being grateful for all of those things and your life.
And you are, and you really do exude that energy, and you are an energy of love. You are. So I think that was a good intuitive answer. So thank you so much for
joining
us. And everybody listening, until next time, be well.